Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This special series was recorded live at the Market Council Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen in as we talk with leaders in our industry represented at this wonderful event. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We once again are live from the Market Council Summit in beautiful Las Vegas Four Seasons Hotel. Now, we have a guest today who works for a company that I'm sure every single solitary one of you heard of, which is Orion, and George Sfagera. So George is the VP of Business Development. In fact, we just got him off the stage here at Market Council. So he's already warmed up. No pressure. But he's going to answer some questions that we're super excited about because, George, as we were talking about before the podcast started, we hear the same things over and over again. So if you don't mind, let's tell our audience what you keep hearing over and over again and how what we're going to talk about today is really different.
Yeah. Well, when I opened up my presentation or when I was thinking about what I wanted to present, I just thought to myself, you know, I can't take giving or listening to another presentation about how advisors need to invest in technology or target millennials or build a great client experience. I think that all comes without saying anymore. And you hear it over and over again. And the other part of it that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to give a presentation without these advisors leaving the room with things they can take with them, specific questions they can ask, specific things they could write down that will help them, in the case of my presentation, evaluate technology, not just what Orion does, but all of the components of their technology stack. So that was really important.
And that's what you do every day, all day. That was one of the neat things that you said was explain that.
Yeah, exactly. I think, a unique perspective because my job every day, all day, is to help advisors evaluate a piece of technology. So I get exposed to all the questions. I get exposed to all the issues. I get exposed to the questions and the topics that some advisors miss, which I think is most important because time and again, especially this year in particular, for some reason, I've worked with a lot of advisors who have gone through the evaluation process for their, in our case, the portfolio accounting or the operating system, made a decision normally based on price, lowest cost, and a year and a half later, they're back at it, going back and looking at those other providers at a time when the dust should have settled on the original onboarding. Right. So when the wind should be at their back, they should be heading down with this new technology. Mm-hmm. Now they're starting all over again from square one and having to figure everything out again. So,
man, as a coaching consultant before I ventured into this world, I know you've heard this probably a million times more than I have, but it drives the team crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. They get a new piece of technology and the advisor is super excited about it, but they didn't ask the right questions at the beginning and they are 9 months, 12 months into it. And they're like, I can't deal with this anymore. And then the team is like, oh, my God, the dust just started settling. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do we solve this problem?
Well, I think it's, for lack of a better term, you have to ask the boring questions.
Okay.
You know, when I started out the presentation yesterday, I started with data, which is probably the least exciting topic when you're talking, you know, reporting. A lot of advisors or users of technologies, they want to see the, for lack of a better term, the shiny object and see what it does and see the sizzle. But one of the examples I gave yesterday was you need to make sure data is the fuel that drives the engine of all these technologies, right? And when you go in there and you see the functionality, you have to ask yourself, what data is being used and where is it coming from? Like in the case of Orion, you know, we deal with an extreme amount of data every day. We're bringing it in from the custodians. Mm-hmm. We're reconciling it, and that's what makes our system go. It's the foundation of everything that we do. And in almost all cases, it's the foundation of all of our integrations, the data that we're pushing.
Okay.
But when you evaluate a technology that says, you know, it does this, it has a field for RMD. Well, if the system doesn't tell you what the RMD is or when the RMD needs to be taken, what value is a custom field on that page? So, you know, making sure that, am I responsible for the data? Where's the data coming from? Because that's what's actually going to make the technology work. So you have to ask those questions.
Okay, but let's more questions. I really want, and if you don't have, if you're driving, please, dear God, don't start writing down. But if you aren't, please make sure you grab a piece of paper. We're going to have very specific show notes for you on this because I think these are going to be questions everybody wants to process. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, in terms of data, the first topic I talked about was where does the data come from? Who's responsible for it? Who inputs it? Am I having to do it on a daily basis? Do you do it on a daily basis? What happens if I want? And this is one question that as a salesperson for a technology, advisors kind of shy away from asking, and it's what happens if I leave your technology? What happens to my data if I go somewhere else? I think that's an important question to ask, you know, because this is an evolving industry. Mm-hmm. There's no secret there. So asking, if something happens, if my business changes and I need to use a different piece, how do I get out what is really mine, right?
Now, that could be some terrifying answers, though, George. I mean, what happens if somebody says to you, well, we own the data?
Well, like in our case, the advisor owns the data. It's in our agreement. So I think it's just important for other providers, you need to go in there and look. And another thing, and it kind of led into my next point, for existing advisors who are making a change, so not a new advisor, you have to think about, okay, if I can get the data, what data comes out and how does it go into the next system?
Sure.
Right?
Oh, come on, George. You just exported it as a CSV file and everything.
Yeah, I get that all the time. I can give you a 5 million Excel spreadsheet line. Does that work? And, you know.
Yeah.
So the other question that I encourage the advisors to ask was, what type of conversion is it? In our world, we're dealing with, it's all about transactions and it's all about performance in our you know, reporting world. So Orion, we always strive to do a full transactional conversion. We're going to take from the legacy system, from the custodian, every transaction that's ever happened, and we're going to load that into our system. And we're going to rebuild performance, right? The other side of that would be a performance conversion where you're taking intervals out and you're limited to month-end performance. You don't get security level performance. And I have talked to specific advisors who have just asked the question, can you convert my data? And the answer is yes. They didn't go into what type of data. They didn't go into what were the limitations if I use that form over the other. And now one firm in particular that I'm thinking with is literally building a 5 million line spreadsheet to get security level, you know, performance numbers.
Wow.
And that's probably going to fail so.
I don't think Excel was built for that, man.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what technology's for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
All right.
And technology providers. That's what they're for.
Now, let's talk about your job, though, just a little bit here. So can they hire you to do this? Is this, help me understand that. Well, it seems very valuable to me, George. That's why I was asking.
Well, most technologies will convert, you know, it's in Orion's best interest to get you off of your legacy system. So that's something that we dedicated a lot of resources to, is to making sure that we can get all that data, we can convert it. And we're having candid conversations about what we can get and how it's going to be used, right? Because no one wants to be told something and then expectations are one thing and what they actually get is another.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's not so much of how is it going to be done, but just knowing what to expect, you know, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're going to switch a CRM, are you going to help me with the notes? Are you going to help me with the activities? If you're not, are there consultants out there that do? Do you have any recommendations? Is there anyone that's experienced in this industry doing it? You know, if you're leaving a broker dealer or you're leaving a wirehouse, financial planning is usually a big part.
Right.
And you have to understand sometimes those financial plans move. In most cases, they don't. Right. You're going to have to rebuild those. So it's just knowing what you're getting into.
I'm assuming then you have a pretty nice bench of people, a deep one that you can pull from to help advisors through this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for us, we have a team that's just dedicated to doing this because we don't want the advisor to have to focus on the data, the data. And frankly, we control that process so we can make sure that it's accurate so that they have a great experience down the road using our reporting tools. So we really take that on and we tell the advisor, focus on training on the system, how to use it, and getting adoption internally with your employees.
Okay. From a real high level though, George, what really, outside of everything that you've said, I'm going to put you on the spot here just a little bit, but what makes Orion so different? I mean, when I said that you guys are the juggernaut in the room here, you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Our salespeople.
Great answer, man. That was awesome.
I think it's from this is going to sound like a cliche answer, but it's really the culture that we've created to be consultative, right? This is again going to sound kind of cheesy, but I always tell advisors, you need to ask how, not can. We refer to it as consultative customization.
Okay.
Just because, like, if you ask, can a system do this? And the answer is yes. There's a risk of one of two things happening. Either that process is a workaround for you, or that process is a workaround for the technology provider.
Gotcha.
And what I mean by that is, can you do certain functionality? Well, if you ask, how do you do this in your technology, this is what we do at Orion all the time. When they say, can you bill in this certain way? Mm-hmm. I always ask, why do you do it that way? And in a lot of cases, if it's outside the norm or if it's inefficient, I say, why do you do it that way? And in a lot of cases, the advisor will stop and say, why do we do it that way?
Let me call somebody.
Right,
I knew that.
Right. And then they'll go back and they'll realize it was a limitation of their prior system or their current system. Mm-hmm. It was a workaround that's now ingrained itself into their business process. Mm-hmm. And now it's just it's because it's the way we've always done it,
right,
type of answer.
Yeah.
So you're missing out on the opportunity to learn best practices of how other advisors do it. I mean, we have a community of 1,600 advisors that are constantly bringing ideas to us. Mm-hmm. So we can share that with advisors to say, I wouldn't do it that way. If you want to be truly efficient, bite the bullet, make this change, and do it that way.
I love that. I love feedback loops on that. And I love when an organization, especially an organization your size, is still willing to take a look at how they can continuously improve. Because, you know, it's that gradual improvement that really, makes us better human beings and a better company.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Let's switch gears a little bit, because I personally want to get to know you a little bit more. And that way our listeners, if they want to find out a little bit more about who you are and what makes you tick, and of course, Orion, they'll maybe feel a little bit more of a connection, because as you know, people like to do business with people they have things in common with. When you're not working,
mm-hmm.
I hope there is a time where you're not working. What do you do for fun?
Well, I travel quite a bit. So when I'm not working, I like to stay at home and hang out. I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful little boys, and anytime that I can just either stay at home or go do something with them, go play in the park or go out to movies and hang out, that's usually what I'm doing.
How old?
Yeah. 10 and 6.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah. Who is your hero?
That's a good question. You know, I would probably say my grandfather at a young age. And I'm from Nebraska, born and raised in Nebraska, and this is going to be a very Nebraska story. So everyone strap in for the exciting world of Nebraska. But when I was about 10 years old, my grandpa was a sweet corn farmer. Mm-hmm. And so he would pick me up in the morning, and we would go pick sweet corn early in the morning. And then we would drive around to all my aunts and uncles' place of business and, frankly, bars and stuff around in Omaha, and we would sell sweet corn all day. And so, look, I mean, at the time, I loved every minute of it. And then looking back on it, I think it gave me a really great outlook on work and how to talk to people and sell to people. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Wow. If you had all of the money in the world that you ever needed,
mm-hmm.
what would your life look like?
You know, probably not much different than it is now.
Okay.
You know, if you want everything you have, then you don't, you know, you just be satisfied with what you have. We, again, being from Nebraska, they're typically frugal people, so I would probably do a lot more charity work. Mm-hmm. Me and some friends started a charity called Mustaches for Kids about 10 years ago, and it started as a reason to go hang out with other guys, and now we raised over $640,000 in the last year, and we're trying to take it more nationwide. And I sit on the board of Mustaches for Kids for Omaha and Mustaches for Kids International, and I'd probably take that money and try to expand that out a little further.
Well, we're going to put the link to that in our show notes, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great. Who's your favorite person in history and why?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, I'm a big American president's history buff. I like to read about different American presidents. And I probably would have a better answer for this if I had more time, but the one that pops in my head is Thomas Jefferson. Kind of an interesting president. I always think it's phenomenal what age they were.
Oh, yeah.
When they started writing the Declaration of Independence, and I think they were in their 20s or late 20s.
Yes.
And when I think of what I was doing in my late 20s, I wasn't declaring independence from the largest empire on the planet.
You and me both. Yeah.
So I think it's
great. I didn't even know what empire I was involved with, I think, when I was in my early 20s, but that's okay. When you think of success, George, how do you define that for yourself?
Probably, you know, happiness is up there. I'm in a sales role, so I have quotas, for lack of a better term, or goals that I have to hit. But I truly do enjoy learning how advisors run their business, mm-hmm. and helping them. You know, I've lost sight of that a couple times, and it's bothered me. Like, why can't I do this? And when I recenter on just helping advisors, you know, my job becomes a lot easier.
Let's talk about the recentering, because this is something we love to talk about on the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, because a lot of people get lost, right? Whether mm-hmm. it's chasing the wrong thing, or, you know, one of the people we just interviewed was talking about, you know, if you only veer off 5%, after a while, that 5% is sure. a huge distance, right? How do you reset yourself?
My wife.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, she has this, you know, she comes from her parents, who I love dearly, are farmers in eastern Nebraska. Her dad's one of those guys that will sit in a chair all day and not say anything. And then he'll say two words and there are no questions and no one has to. And my wife inherited that ability. So she has a really great way of putting things in perspective to me when I try to overcomplicate them. And I do a lot.
You're good at that?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm really good at that. Yeah.
What is one thing that you recommend to family or friends, kind of like a go-to book, TED Talk, song, saying?
I got nothing on this one.
All right.
I got nothing on
no
this
worries.
One. Yeah.
Name one thing that most people don't know about you.
I'm a pretty open book.
Yeah, but nobody on this podcast knows you. So,
yeah.
Well, that's probably not entirely true, but.
You know, probably what some people don't, I come across as a very, I think, extroverted person, mm-hmm. but I am a very private person.
Okay.
I don't, I know everyone's supposed to be on social media and building a personal brand, but I can't do it. I like to stay pretty private and. And so I know that's a pretty boring answer.
But it's an answer.
It's an answer.
I'm okay with that, George.
Uh-huh.
What's your proudest achievement so far?
Probably my family. Okay. Yeah. It's weird. No one, you grow up with your parents and the people around you and everyone like walks around like they have it figured out. And then you get married and then you have kids and you realize that no one has anything figured out. So I just think, you know, coming from a working class family in South Omaha, Nebraska to where I am now, I think I'm incredibly blessed and I'm extremely proud of that and excited to see where what's next.
Sure. So. Well, let's hope we can help you a little bit about what's next. So if somebody wants to reach out to find a little bit more about Orion and what you do specifically, mm-hmm. what is the best way and who should contact you?
The best way is to go on our website, orionadvisor.com. We got a great contact page and you can see my bio and all my contact information, the stuff that I'm comfortable sharing because, you know, I'm a very private
yeah,
person,
yeah.
But any, you know, anyone that's interested in seeing what is out, what's the capabilities that are out there?
Sure.
You know, a lot of advisors will focus on and, you know, RAs, but a lot of advisors will focus on, I need to replace what I use today. And I always ask them, if you're just replacing what you use today, why not continue to just use what you use today? So have an open mind and challenge yourself, see what's out there. And the one piece of advice that I gave in the presentation that I hope advisors take away, I do demos all day, every day. When you go into a demo, think about what you want the technology to do for you. Don't ask for a general overview. Make it conversational because you're going to get so much more out of it. Mm-hmm. And the person on the other end of the phone is going to be much more willing to give you honest feedback and honest information. So
well, it allows you to do your job a lot better when
yeah.
you can find out really what's going on underneath
Absolutely.
The hood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, George, thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, so if you have technology questions, especially when it comes to overall integration and really what's going on, make sure that you reach out to George Figuera at Orion. We'll make sure we have his contact information in our show notes, or you can just go to the Orion website at orionadvisor.com. So for everybody at Orion Top Advisor Marketing and everybody at iris.xyz, if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. Every time we come out with something new, it'll show up directly on your listening device, and you'll be able to find out more and more about what it means to truly be a top advisor. So thank you very much, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.